Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're going to do politics, of course, but I'm going to begin with something from the real life, the real world, something that most talk show hosts don't live in. I can't tell you that politicians live in the real world. I don't know who lives in the real world anymore, but I do. So every morning, I bicycle by a little yacht harbor, and this morning I talked to a sardine fisherman. You say, well, why are you telling me about that? Because I want to tell you about the world through a sardine. I spoke to a young fisherman who was wrapping up his nets. I happen to know the sardines are running because I watched the birds eat them last week on the jetty outside my house. And he told me that this huge school of fish has now gone across San Francisco Bay, and they're over by the Richmond side. So I said, well, where do your sardines go? He said, well, they're trucked up to a freezing plant. They're sent up to Bellingham, Washington, and they're sent to Japan. Not one sardine is sold in America. So they're fished out of my waters. They're sent to Japan. And I said, what, do they take the roe out of them and then get rid of the fish? Right. Now, sardines are one of the most healthful foods in the world. I don't mean the stuff in a can with the salt and the oil. Sardines are great foods, rich in omega-3s, etc., high protein. They're used as fertilizer or cat food. Would you believe this? This shows you the stupidity of our political system, that our natural resources can be lifted out of our own waters and sold overseas, just as we learned last week that the Saudis are buying up the wheat land in the heartland of America. Now, what sane nation on earth permits a hostile nation to buy up its farmland? A nation run by criminals and gangsters. That's all. And that brings us right to the election. Trump, 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 diddy-dump, dump-dump, dump-dump. Cruz, Cruz, cruising with Cruz. Yesterday we talked about what is a conservative. Great show. Loved every minute of the 3 hours. Today I'm going to talk about that and what is a liberal, because many of you don't know what a liberal is. What we hear is liberals bad. Liberals bad. Well, classical liberals were not so bad. It's the phony, well, let's forget the word phony, it has no meaning. It is the modern variety of liberal who are fanatical progressives, meaning socialist, communist, authoritarians, who we are referring to when we say liberal today. Because true liberals had an adage that was, I may not agree with you, but I would fight to the death, you're right. To say it. That is so dead. That is so dead. No one came to my aid when I was banned in Britain, so to speak. You say, why do you keep referring to it? Because I'll repeat it over and over again. Name one of the great conservative talk show hosts who spoke out against Britain banning one of their own. One or two did. They're all good conservatives, of course. So what is a liberal? What is a conservative? We're going to talk about Clinton's emails. Clinton's emails so secret some lawmakers can't read them. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's the biggest story of the week, of the entire election, the biggest story. The biggest story is that some of the emails were so secret, so above top secret, that some lawmakers are not allowed to read them. But apparently many others did. And now Clinton is going after the Inspector General using her hit machine. Her hit machine is going after the independent inspector general. Can you believe what we are dealing with here? Why is she fit to be president? Why? When she attacks anybody who exposes anything she does. So she's going after Inspector General Charles McCulloch. She's now attacking him in a way that you would expect in a banana republic. And if you want a banana republic, make sure that Trump is undermined by his worst enemies. And who are his worst enemies? Well, we know that so-called Hollywood progressives hate him. In fact, I have a list of them. Hold on 1 minute. Here it is. Jane Fonda organizing a dump Trump campaign. Now, how does Jane Fonda differ from those in radio who are attacking him? I mean, Jane Fonda, Harry Belafonte, left-wing filmmakers, including the psychopathic anti-Israeli Noam Chomsky, are lending their support to the drive to prevent Donald Trump getting into the White House. So you'd expect that from these psycho leftists, right? Then why are people who call themselves conservatives attacking Donald Trump when that will give us Hillary Clinton? On that note, two of the smartest women in the entire world that I know both say it's either Trump or the country's doomed. And they say that those who are attacking Trump are working for the Democrats, knowingly or unknowingly. They may knowingly be on the take of the Democrat Party, and you may not know it. Two of the smartest women in the world have said that to me. And they've both made lives for themselves through very hard work. It's either Trump saves America or we lose America to the most dangerous fanatic in the history of the world, in the American political world. So far left Jane Fonda is now running a smear campaign against Donald Trump. And they say things like, we believe Trump is a grave threat to democracy, freedom, human rights, equality, and the welfare of our country and all our people, says Jane Fonda. And 1,200 people from Hollywood, including, listen to this, the stinkos from Code Pink, are attacking Donald Trump. What more do you need to know? If they're attacking him, he must be the right choice. It's that simple. So they're pushing the hate of Donald Trump to a new level. The hatred of Donald Trump is being pushed to a new level, as we would expect from Jane Fonda and her Hollywood cohorts. But why do you suppose it's coming from sources you've in the past come to trust? Why is that happening? Why is that? Is Ted Cruz such a superb candidate? Let's look at Ted Cruz for 1 minute. He supported TPP for Barack Obama, Fast Track Authority, Trade Authority for Barack Obama. Now, how could you call that a conservative candidate? How could you call Ted Cruz a conservative, darling, when he supported Fast Track Authority for President Obama? Now, I don't want to run Cruz down. He's got a lot of deficits. My main thing about Cruz is not even his politics so much as he's unelectable. In a general election, he loses because he cannot garner the vote of the average American. They take one look at him and they see a sneak. That's what they see. I got to tell you over and over again. Just as I bicycle past a yacht harbor and talk to a sardine fisherman to learn the reality of commerce, at the basic level, I'm a fisherman. I can tell you that my stethoscope is the most accurate in the political world, and Ted Cruz would be destroyed in a general election. Forget how smart he is, forget how good he is, forget all those other issues. It does not matter so much as whether he is electable in a general election, which is sort of like a high school popularity contest, whether you know it or not. Did you know that? The average American votes based upon what they see in the last week before the election. That's all they do. They look at the candidate, don't even know who he is. And that's what it is, make a decision based on popularity. Do they like his suit? Do they like his hair? Do they like his tie? Do they like his smile? That's about it. And his teeth. I'm sorry to tell you Ted Cruz loses on all of those fronts. Doesn't mean that he's a bad man. He's probably a great guy. I know he's intellectually superb. I don't appreciate him voting for TPP, but I like listening to him. I think he makes good sense. I mean, he says the word Constitution one more time, I'll say, okay, we heard it already. We know what the Constitution is. We all carry one in our pocket like the little red book. I get it. I know in Maoist China, you had to carry a little red book to prove you're a loyal member of the Maoist Communist Chinese Party. But in America today, I guess you got to carry a little copy of the Constitution and produce it on demand. Or you're excommunicated as a conservative in America. Must carry that Constitution in your back pocket. Preferably in chest pocket, and produce it on demand in order to get on a subway car, or else you'll be told that you're not a conservative. You don't pass the litmus test. That's topic number one. So what is a conservative and what is a liberal? What is a liberal? We don't even know what a liberal is anymore. I found the definition of a liberal. It was published by the Huffington Post a number of years ago by a number of left-leaning law professors who have no recognition, so I won't mention their name. And here's one of them. Liberals believe government must respect and affirmatively safeguard the liberty, equality, and dignity of each individual. It is liberals who have championed and continue to champion the rights of, get ready, racial, religious, and ethnic minorities, political dissidents, persons accused of crime, and the outcasts of society. It is liberals who have insisted on the right to counsel, a broad application of the right to due process, and the principle of equal protection for all people. Now, that's all very important stuff for those individuals who are minorities or criminals. They all are entitled to representation. But not by overriding the will of the majority and violating the law itself. That's the problem with liberalism as it is practiced in America today. It's not that I oppose the liberty and equality and dignity of each individual. I oppose the fanatics using George Soros' billions of dollars of, I think, ill-gained monies. Using the monies of George Soros to buy the newspapers, as in The Godfather, and override the will of the majority. And go on. Liberals believe government has a fundamental responsibility to help those who are less fortunate. Oh, that's very, very benevolent of you. It is liberals who have supported and continue to support robust government programs to improve health care, education, social security, job training, and welfare for the neediest members of society. It is liberals, they write, who maintain that a national community is like a family, and that government exists in part to promote the general welfare. That all sounds good to an 18-year-old kid in college. Now, if liberals believe in all of this stuff, how is it that Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and other liberal companies evade taxes and make you foot the bill for their liberalism? It'd be very nice if Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and the others who use the triple Irish, triple Dutch methods of paying very, very low taxes and make you foot the bill for all of these health care, education, social security, job training, and welfare programs for the neediest members of society. And then we read this morning that the owner of one of the most popular yogurt companies in America, Chobani Yogurt, is a Kurdish Muslim refugee immigrant who is lobbying around the clock to bring in as many Middle Easterners as he can to work in his factory. And he's gotten some gigantic companies to go along with him. Did you know any of this? So every time you eat that yogurt, you're bringing another refugee into America. You didn't know any of that. So I've started the show now talking about sardines, conservatives, liberals, Cruz, Trump, Clinton's emails. I think that's enough for an opening. It's enough for the children to digest at the beginning of the class today. And if you've taken notes and you care to ask a question or state something, there is a phone number you can call. I am not the New York Times or the Daily News. I actually take calls. And the phone number for your editorial is 855-400-SAVAGE. See, we are the new newspapers. I don't say that often enough. I grew up reading newspapers. I read many of them in my house in Queens. My father bought five of them a day. I didn't know why he's buying five. And he used to say to me, because I want to know all sides of a topic. He never went past high school. He was an immigrant. He worked too hard to go to college. He didn't have the money. Dropped out of high school and worked his whole life. Okay. He read five newspapers a day. I can remember them to this day. Daily News, New York Post, the New York Herald Tribune. That was three. I don't remember the rest. Honest to God. There were a few others. I don't know who they were. And I said, Dad, why are you reading all these papers? He said, well, one gives you one side, the other gives you the other side. I want to know all the sides before I make up my own mind. So he was a very, very independent-minded man, my father. In that sense, I thank him for that. And then when I got older and I thought I was so smart, I would write letters to the editor, and occasionally they would be published by the New York Times. And boy, would I treasure those editorials. I have them in a file somewhere. How long has it been since you've had a letter published by any newspaper? Like forever? And talk radio now serves as the instant method of communication. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. It is the Savage Nation. I mean, I'm going to repeat the topics till I'm blue in the face. I can't do it. We're talking about what is a liberal, what is a conservative, the Cruz-Trump feud, that Jane Fonda has joined other fanatical anti-American leftists like Harry Belafonte, to name one, in attacking Donald Trump, saying he's a grave threat to democracy. What are they so afraid of with Donald Trump is the question. What do they fear with Donald Trump? Well, they fear that the party is over, that the destruction of our borders, language, and culture, and disseminating pornography and violent films will be over under Trump. That's all. It's bad for business. WMAL, Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away, 30 seconds or less.
What is it? I'd like to know what they fear about Cruz so much. Why do they fear him more than Trump? I mean, that blows my mind. I'm trying to make a decision.
Wait, sir. I just said to you, Jane Fonda and the Hollywood elite are attacking Trump, not Cruz. So who fears Cruz more?
Why? And you know, if Trump supports subsidies for corn.
Or Bob, listen to me. If you can't hear me, and we're having this problem on my show every day, who hates Cruz more than Trump?
The money doesn't.
Robert, are you running the board properly? Because I can't do a radio show. You know what we're getting is we're getting robotic callers every day. They're calling this show in particular because they know I'm the strongest voice in radio, the most original voice in radio, the least predictable voice in radio, the most independent voice in radio. They know that. They're calling with robotic scripts in their hand. He said, why did they attack Cruz more than Trump? Who? Who's attacking Cruz more than Trump? Tell me who. And it's a stupid topic. I mean, it's so boring, I can't talk about it. I'd rather talk about, Jane Fonda eating fish roe than that. It's stupid. Can we talk about something important like what is a liberal? What is a conservative? I had a great show yesterday. I slept well. I didn't even drink last night. I had nothing. I felt so good I didn't even need a vodka from the end of the day. In fact, I went on a high alkaline diet for 10 minutes. No, I've done that. I wrote books on it years ago. It makes a big difference. My energy was super. Unbelievable. High alkaline. Great diet. Back in a minute. Just said, Robert's smiling. He's young enough to get that. That's all. It's a little trade-off. 3 minutes of heaven and 23:57 on the other side of the ledger. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Robert's a young fellow who's engaged. He's still an idealist. And he should go forward and multiply and stuff like that. We need good children. Drudge is running a poll, who was your pick for president, and the last election he was super accurate. These other polls are like fake. There's another guy keeps running polls showing like John Kasich, you know, I mean, crazy. Where are they? Bought and sold. Let's see, view results. Trump, 46.55%. Celia Cruz, 28%. Rubio the Ice Cream Man, 7.5%. What have happened to Ron Paul? Rand Paul. I don't even know the difference. You know, the same people who attacked me, like the Cruz bots, they were the Paul nuts a year ago. I used to get slammed by the Paul fanatics. They've shifted over to being Cruz fanatics. Sanders, 3%. Kasich, 1.9%. Carson, 1.9%. Christie, 1.5%. Fiorina, 1.4%. Bush, 1.3%. Come on. Clinton, 1.25%. Oh, but this is on the Drudge poll. Santorum, it's like a horse race. 0.26%. Santorum and O'Malley in this case. Imagine a racetrack. And the winner has gone around the track twice and they're coming to the finish line. It's like a 2-lap race. Right? These guys haven't even gone around once. And yet there are people who promote them. Trump's strongest primary performance in modern history. All right, I'm supporting him. I like what he says. I realize he doesn't give enough details. I get it. But let me tell you something about the average American. They don't even know what anyone's talking about. They have no idea whatsoever. How do you imagine the average voter? What's your image of an average voter? It's not you. You're tuned into politics. That's why you're listening to talk radio. You're only listening half an ear. But you are listening to maybe glean this or that. You're doing something else, many of you. But The average American doesn't even read or listen to anything. They don't know who anyone is. They get propaganda in the headlines of the newspapers, you know. So if you get a smear campaign running against the candidate in the newspapers a week before the election, they'll be swayed. KSFO, San Francisco. I can hardly say the word anymore. Robert on KSFO. What's on your mind, Robert?
Well, I wanted to make a comment. My father-in-law is a retired gunnery sergeant from the Marines and an active police officer. The thing is, he's a big Cruz supporter, and he cannot for one second like Trump. I mean, I'm a Trump supporter, but we go at it because he's very, very conservative. I mean, when I mean conservative, I mean he's Baptist, hardcore Christian. He can't let that go, and that's why he can't warm up to Trump. I remember what you said a couple of days ago on the radio about would you rather be right or would you rather be smart? You remember that?
Yeah, I certainly do. It saved my behind many a time since a lawyer taught me that 40 years ago.
And this is the thing, Michael. Listen to this, okay? This is coming from someone. I want you to hear me out. This is coming from someone who's a convicted felon. Unfortunately, I got into trouble, and ironically...
Hey, man, you don't have to apologize. Listen, you don't have to apologize to me, okay? I understand. I hear a little bit of your background and your accent. Trust me, I have a very good ear. I was going to even say it to you. Where did you do time?
What I wanted to tell you was, I mean...
No one's hearing me again. There's something wrong with the board or something. Where'd you do your time? Corcoran?
No. In Estill, South Carolina. It was a federal prison camp. I was there with Peter Madoff.
Oh. All right, I don't want to go into your crimes. You paid your dues to society. You are out. What people don't know is many ex-felons who come out are very conservative. Isn't that true?
That's very correct. And something that I wanted to bring up, sir, when in the prison system, something that you may have not, I'm sure you've noticed, but a lot of people are concerned with Obama bringing in refugees from Islamic countries to destroy the country. What's already happened is when he did that release of federal prisoners, when he reduced the sentencing guidelines, he let out a lot of Islamic converts that are in the system that I've seen, mainly African-Americans, who just do that as a show while in prison. When they leave, they either throw the Quran out or do things like that that Muslim in Philadelphia did to the cop. He already sent them out on the street, and people don't even look at it that way. He just let out a bunch of felons that are...
Well, he needs more community organizers, and who better than active community organizers than those who come out of prison?
Exactly.
So I'm very curious now. I happen to watch a lot of these shows like Lock Up and this and that. What was your crime?
It was conspiracy to manufacture marijuana with intent to distribute.
Well, today you'd be working for the Department of Health and Human Services. I mean, the way the country has changed and the laws have been changed, you wouldn't even be an outlaw anymore. You'd be working for the federal government.
Exactly. Exactly.
But your life is ruined. I mean, your life is ruined fundamentally as an ex-felon, right?
Let me tell you this, and I'm never going to let that see. That's the difference between somebody who's a hard... This is what I take as a conservative. I'm a felon, but I will never be put in a position where I'll let that ruin my life. I'm not going to go get a minimum wage job or complain about minimum wage. Ever since I got out of prison while on supervision, I still made a six-figure income legally. Legally.
Well, I don't want to go there because I don't want to know what you did, frankly. Look, you're obviously a very smart guy. I was watching a show last night on lockup. Was this a different country? So we all know this is true, that the prisoners line up behind their race. The Hispanics are in one part of the thing, the whites in another, and the blacks in another. Is that still true?
That's very correct. Let me comment on that, actually. I was in a prison camp, so it's a little less political because most of the people there are white-collar criminals or drug offenders that are there 10 years or less. The real politics are when you go to the medium, to the higher security. But I was actually... the clique thing with the whites, blacks, and Hispanics, that's still accurate. When I got there, they put me in a bunk with five Caucasians. One of the guys I made really good friends with, he actually went to prison at the end of the Clinton administration. You can look him up. He actually got in trouble for KKK-related things, and he did up almost 20 years. He got out a few years ago, but he did almost 20 years, and he was actually kind of a good guy. But, I mean, what he did was not so good. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. That's another story.
Okay, but you are Hispanic, correct?
I'm Cuban American, first generation American from Cuban immigrants. Uh huh.
Okay. All right, but then you'd say you're would you identify as Hispanic or as Caucasian?
Hispanic, I guess. I consider myself an American, but Hispanic.
I understand, but if you're in a prison and there are gangs and they're dividing people up by race, where would you go?
Latin.
Because based on your looks, only on your looks.
I kind of look white to tell you the truth, Michael. But yeah.
Okay, I got it. Let's not go down that road. So, in a federal lockup, is it just as vicious as in other prison state jails? Like California has remarkably dangerous places like Pelican Bay, Corcoran. But the federal prisons are much different, aren't they? I mean, I don't mean like Florence, Oklahoma, where they put the worst. The white collar places, they're not as vicious, or they are?
No, they're definitely not as vicious. They're I'm going to tell you now, it's just a summer camp. It's a way to lose weight and get yourself.
So I wouldn't be getting the good lunches I have the assistant get me during the show every day in a jail. They make me lose weight.
But that's the way.
All right. So look, the main point of your call was really important. It's just that we're like guys hanging out in a bar talking and having a beer. And, you know, that's the way you're shooting the breeze. People who know how to talk do this. People who don't know how to talk get nervous listening to us because they can't understand how two men can communicate so well, don't even know each other. But we both have the ability to do that. Your primary point was your father, right? Did you say your father?
Father-in-law,
ex-gunnery sergeant, hardcore, doesn't like Trump. A Cruz supporter, blah, 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 and you don't know how to change his mind. Didn't you tell him that you like Cruz, you respect him except for one or two things, but in a general election, Trump is more electable against Hillary? Does he understand that?
That's what I tell him and my mother-in-law. I tell him, listen, you know, nothing wrong with Ted Cruz, but he's only people that are really right-wing, very, you know, the evangelicals and the very conservatives are the one that's going to vote for him. You're not going to have independents and Democrats vote for Cruz. Trump, yes, but Cruz, no. It's just common sense. I mean,
you're 1,000% right, but what I'm trying to get across to those people is that after the primaries, if Trump wins, they're still not going to vote for him because he's not evangelical enough?
Oh, no, he will. I asked him that already. I said, so what, are you going to vote for Hillary if Trump comes out? He said, oh, no, I'm not. Of course not.
All right. So he's not that crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But
all right. Well, so in other words, he knows if there's a candidate that's a Republican versus her, he's going to go for that candidate. I got it. Well, that's very good news, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I'm going to send you a great conservative book called Government Zero. Maybe you can wave it around the living room. Give a copy to your father-in-law. I'm sure you'll find so much in there that he doesn't know. And I thank you for listening to the program. It's, what day of the week? Thursday already. Blizzard warning issued for D.C. Blizzard warning. Blizzard. Can you imagine that we're having a blizzard in January on the East Coast? How is that even possible? It must be that darn global warming stuff. Here in California, lakes have risen like 30 feet in a week. And the local newspaper won't publish the picture of the lake's water level going up. They run an article, Lake Blank has gone up 30 feet in a week, but they show pictures of it when it was in the drought. That's in Jerry Brown's backyard. You talk about brainwashing. How about showing us one picture of the lake, the new level of the lake, like after all the storms we've had? It just shows you the brainwashing that you have to overcome in this world to know, you know, how to make heads or tails out of anything. Honest to God. And it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show. I need to stay grounded. I can read the blogs, I can read the articles, I can read the sites day and night. Do I know reality by reading all the internet? Let me ask you something. Do you think that that's reality? The stories from newspapers, websites, and radio shows for that matter. Is that reality? Is that the only reality that you use? Then you're in real trouble. It is a part of reality, but it's a biased reality. I myself, being in the business of speaking to so many people every day, I try to stay grounded. And the ways I do it are very basic. I talk to a fisherman. I talk to a gardener. And I try to understand the reality through their eyes. Does that help me project it out to the world? I don't know. But I don't know. I grew up that way. I grew up that way with ordinary people. And sometimes one person's opinion means nothing. And sometimes looking at the world through a sardine means something.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The Russians are coming. The blizzard's coming. My mother shoveled snow 50 years ago. Now it's global warming. They'll probably preempt me on the East Coast to tell you that a snowman is going to do the news for you. What can you write about a snowstorm? Well, I guess which roads are closed and not this. People will go down with the heart attacks from a shovel job. I never understood that when I was a kid. You shovel snow and die of a heart attack. How did that even happen? That's so strenuous, throwing a few loads of snow. Who knows? Whatever. Cold weather and shoveling from heart attack. Perfect storm. By the way, in the next hour, I don't have the time right now, I have something very surprising for you. Take a guess who the oldest man in the world is. He's 112 years old. I'll give you a hint. And last week, a man 112 died in Japan called Yasutaro Koide. He was 112 and he died. So now they found someone else, a man now who's 112. There's a woman somewhere who's 116. Okay, women outlive men generally. And the man is not Japanese, and I'll tell you what he lived through in his life. No one listening to this show has lived through anything as bad as what he lived through, and he's 112. And you know what the motto of the story is? You can live through things. Stop crying about how bad America is and how bad Obama is and how there's never been a worse and you're going to die if it keeps up. You have no idea what people have lived through, are living through, and can live through. You have no idea. And if it's anything I can give my audience that's different, it's inspiration. I want to give you another inspirational today. No matter what's happened to you, it's nothing compared to what happened to this man in his life. And he lived to 112. He's still living. And you got to listen to his philosophy. I can't get him as a guest, but I have a little write-up on him. You won't believe how interesting this is. It gives you such hope that you don't walk around like a victim, and I can't do it, and I can't take it, and this is no good, and I can't make it, and I can't live, and this happened, and Molly... WMAL, Perry, welcome. What's on your mind? What's the topic?
You know, after watching Trump, you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I might be leaning towards this guy. I might.
Why as a Democrat would you lean towards Trump? I'm very curious for me.
Well, I mean, and it's based on, and watching him, he comes as his own man. He like Mr. Farrakhan said, he's not a political whore. He comes with his own money. So he's not emboldened to no one. Except
well, here's the thing, Perry. You've called the show before, and you are a member of the Nation of Islam, but your leader, Farrakhan, doesn't like Trump very much. He gave a very stern warning against Trump 2 weeks ago.
You'd be surprised what he said in an interview with Alex Jones yesterday. He had some very favorable things that he didn't endorse him. I'm not going to say that. But he had some favorable things to say.
Who? Louis Farrakhan did?
Yes. Listen to the interview. Alex.
All right. Well, I know why. I thought about it. I noticed that as inflammatory as he normally is, spewing hate day and night, I didn't know why he was soft-peddling Trump. It's because Louis Farrakhan is a very wise politician. And he knows that the political winds have changed in America. And he knows that if he keeps this up and Trump becomes president, he's liable to wind up in prison. For hate speech. And so what he's doing now is moving into the middle direction to protect his back. He's very smart. I mean, he didn't get where he is by being unsmart. Get it? So I understand that. And I like Alex. He invited me back on his show again. I think I'll do it soon. I just haven't been able to do it. I don't have the time. Well, thank you, my friend Perry. That brings us to the end of hour number one of Government Zero's home base. In the next hour, the oldest man on earth, what's a liberal, what's a conservative, what's you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I believe in private enterprise. I believe in, you know, the incredible dynamism of the American economy, and that's business.
Oh, sure.
And we're, you know,
right.
America's business sure is business. We love business.
Oh, yeah.
But after years of corporate profits, we also have to make sure that business is sharing what it makes with the workers who make it.
Yee-haw! Yee-haw! So now he wants profit sharing in corporations. $10 million in vacation, $80 million spent on vacation, 72 personal aides for the wife. Where's the money going to come from? And, you know, look, the fact is, let's be clear. The day Microsoft, Google, Facebook pay their fair share of taxes will be a great day for America. I mean, don't assume I'm sitting here like some big fat cat who wants lower taxes for all. I pay through the nose and I'm sick of it. But just imagine the day you wake up that undershirt-wearing creep from Facebook has to pay a full share of taxes for Facebook. Just imagine what kind of money that would be. They don't pay full taxes. They don't. But you don't care about that. I don't know what you care about. I told you in this hour I would tell you who the oldest living man is. He's 112, where he lives. I told you we'd get into the Clinton emails are so secret that some lawmakers are not allowed to read them. I told you we'd talk about the history of progressivism. I told you Jane Fonda and a group of Hollywood lunatic leftists have attacked Trump, joined by those who consider themselves to be conservative, and they don't even understand the irony of that one. But I didn't get to these topics, which I pulled for the day, and I may or may not get to. The FBI ran a website sharing thousands of child porn images. This is shocking. For nearly 2 weeks last year, the FBI operated what it described as one of the Internet's largest child pornography websites, allowing users to download thousands of illicit images and videos from a government site in the Washington suburbs. Now, how this came about was the FBI seized a child pornography website, and then they left it online in an attempt to catch users who officials said would otherwise remain hidden behind an encrypted and anonymous computer network. It's an amazing story in USA Today that you have to read. This site, known as Playpen, which was operated by the Justice Department, had more than 215,000 registered sickos and included links to more than 23,000 sexually explicit images and videos of children, including more than 9,000 files that people could download. Now, the next sentence is so disgusting, I'm going to read it to you because you have to know what kind of fiends and ghouls live in this country. Some of the images described in court filings involve children barely old enough for kindergarten having sex with adults. I feed them to the pigs and run it on a pay-per-view. Any adult who's convicted of such crimes, you throw them into a pig pen in Sardinia, and you run it up on a bird, you charge an internet fee, and you give it to the victims of child pornography. You watch them being eaten alive. That would stop the child porno thing, wouldn't it? I read that by last year, the FBI said Playpen had grown to become, quote, the largest remaining known child porno hidden service in the world. The FBI tracked the site to computer servers in North Carolina and in February seized the site and quietly moved it to its own facility in Newington, Virginia. And the FBI then kept the child porno website open for 13 days. And during that time, federal prosecutors told defense lawyers that the site included more than 23,000 sexually explicit images and videos of children. So I don't want to read any more of the details of it, but I read something in here that caught my eye as well. Listen to this one. Federal agents first noticed that Playpen was open after it went online in August of 2014, okay? The website, the child porno website, was buried in what is often called the dark web, a part of the internet that is accessible to the public only through Tor, network software that bounces users' internet traffic from one computer to another to make it largely untraceable. I wonder if Hillary used Tor to, could Hillary have used Tor, Robert? I'm asking you. That's what caught my eye. It's a network software that bounces users' internet traffic from one computer to another to make it largely untraceable. Maybe, they use Tor up there in Quinnipiac, in wherever she lives, Quinnipiac, Scarsdale, in that area. Some, it's a blur to me. It's a giant area that I, in Westchester, that she lives in. I don't know what she had. Let's see. So there's nothing you can say about this. You know, there's a, what can you say about child pornography? Does anyone support it? Of course not. In each case, the FBI injected the site with malware to crack Tor's anonymity. Those hacks, developed with the help of outside contractors, were a technical milestone. I like that. When the FBI realized it could break through Tor, Hosko said the agency gathered counterterrorism investigators and intelligence agencies to see if any of them had a more pressing need for the software. It was this exponentially. This is amazing. This amazing story here. It actually gives me faith in the FBI, to be honest with you. I have great faith in the FBI, I really do. Pressure mounts on Clinton as she lashes out at intelligence community over email probe. So, she's attacking not only the FBI, she's also attacking the attorney, the inspector general. How could anyone vote for her? How could anyone vote for her? I don't understand this. Then I saw another article on the Washington Post, which I had to bring up. The Obama is a Muslim conspiracy theory is still reverberating in the Middle East. Not in the Middle West. Not in the Midwest. In the Middle East, it's a big theory that he's a Muslim. They say, listen to this, it goes like this. Are you ready for this? This is shocking. One of the most persistent and widespread of these conspiracy theories gets more specific than its American variant. The theory says Obama isn't just a Muslim. He's a Shiite Muslim. And this week, as the Obama administration announced that it was lifting sanctions on Iran as a result of the so-called nuclear deal with Tehran, Dahai Khalfan Tamim, the head of General Security for the Emirate of Dubai, suggested that Obama's Shiite roots, unquote, had helped him get elected in a bid to bring the United States and Iran closer. Mission accomplished, he added. This is happening in the Middle East, that he's really a Shiite. And he was put in power by Iran in order to get the sanctions lifted. This is an amazing story. This is, and by the way, it's noted that this man is not an obscure figure. He is a former police chief of Dubai. His Twitter account has more than 1.2 million followers, and his tweets about Obama were retweeted hundreds of times. And so he has put out a rumor that Obama is a Shiite who was elected on Iran's behalf. Pretty amazing. Just shows you what you can find if you study hard enough. And this is all I do for a living, is this. I do nothing else. I have no outside business interests. I write books one a year. Maybe sometimes a dog book will come out this year in the journals. But they're a product of many years of work. It's all I do. This is what I do. All morning, all night, I'm obsessed with the news and obsessed with, as a former scholar who can dig for information, get to the sources, I dig and I dig and I dig and I dig. I don't just read the headlines. And then I come on the air and I have to now condense it for you into a way that it's packaged so that you'll listen to me. So I open with the world through a sardine. And I actually thought about that today. Should I tell them about the sardine story with the fishermen? How does that really relate to the bigger picture? Will they understand the metaphor? And I didn't know the answer to it. All I said to myself was, I'm just filling you in on where my head's going right now. All I said to myself was, you know what? The audience expects a unique show for me every day. They don't want the same old thing. They don't want Dem Repub, Cruz Trump, Cruz Trump, Cruz Trump, Cruz Trump. And they gotta get, you gotta come at it from another point of view, because that's what you specialize in. You specialize in the unique. Otherwise, you're like, you heard it already 1,000 times. Now what's next? Right? What's next? So I said, they expect me to start with something different from Life 101. And it's real. I talked to the sardine fishermen. I found out the fish are flash frozen and sold and shipped to Japan. We don't even get a fin. We don't even get a scale out of the sardines from our own waters. You hear this? The Japanese don't even leave us a scale. Not a fin. If I had the power, that would stop. My natural resources do not go anywhere. They stay in America. We get the sardines. We get the roe. That's all. We hold the lumber. We don't ship lumber to a nation that hates us. And we don't let Saudi Arabians buy our farmland. Now, is that liberal or conservative of me? Let's start with a simple one. We're trying to define what a liberal is, what a conservative is, right? I would not permit the sale of farmland to a foreign entity. Does that make me a liberal or a conservative, right-winger or a left-winger? No, it makes me a nationalist, which all of a sudden is being picked up by everyone. Oh, they're not conservatives, they're nationalists. Two books now I've talked about form a nationalist party. Now suddenly it's filtering out from the radio, the ether world of the radio world. Nationalism, like they discovered the word. They themselves coined the phrase. I'm a nationalist, and that's why I support Trump. It's not because I like his suit or his shoes, or I think his wife is good-looking. It's because he's as close to a nationalist as we've had in the last 50 years. That's why. America first. Now, his motto is, make America great again. I would change that to make America again. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. My board operator surprised me with a song that lifted my spirits. They don't really need any lifting. I'm feeling good, but let's go to the callers, that's all. Brian on WJR in Detroit, Michigan. Brian, what's on your mind, Brian?
Well, Mike, I've worked with a lot of Muslims over the years in the automotive industry, and one thing I picked up on is that for them, the availability of the sin is so easy here in America. I think it just blows their mind, and I think that's what causes some of these guys to want to blow themselves up, because they can go out and commit all kinds of crazy sins against their religion, and then the guilt, you know, is afterwards, the guilt must get to them where they can get some radical imam telling them, hey, the only way that you're going to be able to get to heaven now is to blow yourself up.
Okay, that's an interesting statement you just made. So let me absorb it for a minute, because it's new, and nobody writes my script for me and tells me what to say. So my gut reaction is, the moral bankruptcy of America is causing terrorism, so we're responsible for them?
Not so much.
I mean, think about what you just said. You're blaming the victim of suicide bombing. You're saying they caused it because we're such a degenerate society. I wouldn't agree with that. No one's forcing them to watch pornography or go to a bar at night with their hidden picture hiding. And go have a drink somewhere, or buy a bottle of booze and drink it in a car, or whatever they may be doing, or go to a prostitute. No one is forcing them to do that. They're doing it.
Oh, yeah, but the guilt afterwards. You know how it is when you do something wrong, you know, your guilt.
I never do anything wrong. I'm different than every other man on earth.
I love you, man.
Okay. I never do anything wrong. It's a question of when I do anything right lately, truthfully. Now, I think the moral collapse of America could be beneficial, by the way, for the Muslim world. I think maybe the only thing that could save us from suicide bombing. And that's why I not so jestingly said many years ago that my idea is not such a crackpot idea. Drop millions of bottles of airplane booze in plastic bottles over ISIS strongholds with copies of porn magazines and in the training camps in little packages. You know, I think that if the guys swig the bottle of booze and looked at those magazines, they may throw down their Kalashnikov and stop killing. You know, in that sense, it's like make love, not war. Maybe the 60s would do them a lot of good. I mean, what are they killing for? They think they're going to go to heaven? I can't even understand this. They kill innocent Muslims, innocent Christians, innocent Yazidis, innocent Americans, innocent Germans. For what reason? They go to heaven for killing? Now, what kind of sick religion teaches that? What kind of demented, sick religion teaches that you not do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, but kill others, and then Allah will love you? What kind of sickness is this? How can a world tolerate the importation of such a diseased mentality into a nation? How could you not ban that, which goes right to why Trump's going to win? He's the only one who's actually raised the issue. Stop all Muslim immigration until we can figure this thing out. That's a big statement until we can figure this thing out. What does he mean by this thing? Well, let's see. Which ones of them are reading that kind of garbage that they should kill an infidel because of moral issues? We don't want them. Throw them out. Which imams in America are preaching it? Have the FBI investigate and throw them out of the country and throw the lawyers from NYU out with them. When the NYU or Columbia law clinic lawyers get a hold of the case, throw them out with them. And tell him, thank you very much, Marvin. I'll tell you what, we're giving you a one-way ticket to the same country he's going to, where you'll have lots of time sitting in a tent talking to Akbar as you build his defense. That's all. Have a nice time over there, Marvin. You'll see what human rights you find in his country. Okay, it's just a thought. We all think these things. Chris on WABC, what's on your mind, Chris? Line 5 is Chris from New York City. Hi, Chris. Did the storm hit yet?
Hello?
Yeah, Chris, are you sitting in a snowstorm yet? No.
I apologize. I wanted to ask your definition of peoples. And I preface that by saying I heard your conversation with a man earlier who was the former convict who's he couldn't convince his father to vote for Trump.
Okay, so what's your question? Because we got 40 seconds before the next break. What is it?
The son, the former convict, said, you know, and you mentioned it too, that you didn't think...
Can you ask me the question of me and not review the caller, please? What's your question?
Isn't compromise... What are principles, and aren't you compromising them by, you know, saying that Cruz is not electable and Trump is?
I'm a pragmatist. I want to win. How's that? Does that work? I don't want Hillary Clinton as president. Does that work for you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Syria, Trump, Cruz, inflation, deflation, stock market, affirmative action, Black Lives Matter, Police Lives Matter. Madness reigns. Obama has smashed the world over his knee. The world is in a turmoil. And he gets up and gives speeches like the world's perfect. Listen to clip number 3 of the man who is out of touch with reality. You talk about who's in touch with reality? I talked to a sardine fisherman this morning to gain a grip on reality. Gain. I didn't say I lost it. To gain a better grip on reality, to be more specific. When is the last time Obama spoke to a real person? Listen to clip 3.
The United States of America right now has the strongest, most durable economy in the world.
Ooh,
we're doing so much better than other folks are doing. The American economy right now is 10% bigger than it was at its peak before the financial crisis. In Europe, it hasn't gotten back to where it was back in 2007, 2008.
Oh, you're doing so great. That's why you can take another vacation now. You earned it. You and Michelle earned it. You're ready for another vacation in Hawaii for around $20 million. Listen to clip 4 to hear about the man who fell to earth. Listen to 4.
So when you hear people, I won't say who, but when you hear people claiming that America's in decline, they don't know what they're talking about. They're peddling fiction during a political season. And it's strange to watch people try to outdo each other in saying how bad things are. When one says our economy is terrible, the next says it's terrible and on fire and covered in bees. And they'll just come up with stuff. They're racing to see who can talk down America the most.
Now, if you're not working for a living and you got Air Force One, you got 1,000 guards around you, your wife has 72 personal servants. You go on any vacation you want for $20 million, doesn't matter. You have disc jockeys come to the White House, parties on Wednesday. Dog groomer comes in on Tuesday. Basketball players come in on Thursday. Of course it's a good world. It's a very good world. And how could you say things are not good? They've never been better for me and Michelle. What's wrong with you dummies out there? I don't know who he's talking to, but you would think that the people he'd be appealing to would be those who would know what the real world is. Richard on WABC. Fired a dud. Gone with the wind. We're having trouble with callers today. Either they get on And I say one thing and they say another. And they say, sir, what did you just say? And he keeps going. I say it again. They keep going. They keep hitting their own. Over and over. No back and forth. No hearing, nothing. Or I hit a button and it's a blank job. Maybe I should give up calls altogether on the Savage Nation. What if I drop sound and calls? Just have unscreened calls where I don't even know who's on the line. And I don't relate to you. I'd have no conversation with you at all, like most talk show hosts. I just don't even talk to you. I don't listen to you. I don't respond to you. It may as well be a record. Let's try again. WJR, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. I was at the audio show where Obama, in those last two clips you had played, were actually what he had spoke as the event. And it was just, when you hear him spew what he was spewing, and then to be in the audience and to hear the claps and moans and cheers, they were secondary in the sense that they weren't legitimate or realistic. They were just a bunch of clamored and Nazi yahoos that were just agreeing with what he was saying, regardless if the information he was giving us was factual and actual. He was in Detroit, just giving.
All right, I got the point. On and on, since I drained my cup, like a dreidel going around in my head. All right, so he gave a speech to a stooge audience. What else is new about Barack Obama or any other politician? Here, state of California, new taxes coming from Moonbeam. Governor Jerry Brown doubled down on his calls for fiscal prudence as he delivered his State of the State speech today. And he said, we need new taxes. We need new taxes to fix roads, highways, and bridges. That's because all roads lead to Rome. And I guess those in the building trades need to be paid back. I can't imagine taxes at some point. If taxes go up anymore, I'm leaving the state. I will leave the state at some point. If he hits me with 1% more, I'm going to get out of here. Let him go to the illegal aliens for his taxes. You know something I can't figure out yet? I've asked rich people that I know, and I'm not poor, but I've asked people with money this question. Over and over again, I said, how is it that the billionaires in Hollywood stay in California with taxes at 15%? 15% state taxes. Think about that. And they don't leave. How is it that they live in Hollywood, they don't leave the state? He said, because they don't pay their taxes here. Most of them have no income at all. The money goes to a trust, which is not taxable, and the trust pays them $50,000 or $70,000 a year above the expenses that they get to run their Hollywood life. And so they pay almost nothing to the state. And then they tell everyone else to pay more taxes. I said, are you kidding me? No, he said, some of them live on yachts. 180 days a year, they're out of the state, so they pay no state income tax. They divide their time between any other state and, let's say, a yacht somewhere. And if they're here less than 180 days a year, they pay zero state income tax. That's how they can keep an estate, for example, in Beverly Hills. And they pay no taxes. It makes you ask yourself, how do they get away with this? How? How? I don't understand. And that's where these liberals are. The richest people in the state are all liberals. Psycho liberals, the richest ones, and they pay almost no taxes. And now here's Moonbeam saying that we have to have higher taxes in the state to pay for road work. You hear this? In the State of the State speech, climate change was this thing last year, ending greenhouse gas emission targets beyond 2030. If he would end hot air gas emission from Sacramento, I'd be happier. Water-starved Lake Oroville rises to a dramatic 20 feet in 6 days, and there's no comment from Governor Moonbeam. The lake went up 20 feet in 6 days, and he's still talking about the drought. You hear this? 855-407-282. When is the snowstorm going to hit? Massive winter snowstorm aims for East Coast. I'm sitting here shaking. Did it hit New York? I'm afraid any minute I'm going to hear I'm preempted on the East Coast to talk about shoveling. And that the Triborough Bridge is closed, or the Whitestone Bridge is going to become the Wheatstone Bridge. They're going to change the Whitestone Bridge because it's a racist name. You're changing it to the No Stone Bridge, or the Stoner's Bridge, where you can get drugs from Throgs Neck into Queens through the bridge. But we don't want to call it the Whitestone Bridge in New York anymore because it's got racial overtones. God, what a mad world we live in, huh? All right, I didn't get to what I want to get to. Oh, the guy who lived to 112, I promised you that. Hold it. Everyone wants to live longer except people who are depressed and don't want to live at all. Those are the ones who are going to vote for Hillary. Those who want euthanasia will vote for Hillary. You break the election down. Those people who want euthanasia will vote for Hillary, and those who oppose euthanasia will vote for Trump. I can give you other dividing lines. Israeli Holocaust survivor, 112, oldest man in the world. As you know, last week, a Japanese gentleman died at 112, Mr. Yasutaro Koide. Well, now the oldest man in the world is an Israeli Holocaust survivor, age 112. Now, the reason this story is important for you to listen to, even if you're not interested in Israel or the Holocaust, is to show you what a human can live through and still survive. It just shows you what the faith in God can do. Okay, so he has in his possession a marriage certificate from the 1920s. Crystal was born in 1903 in the town of Zonov in the Lodz province of what is now Poland to a religious Jewish family. His father was a Jewish scholar, and this man, Mr. Crystal, went to a religious primary school until the age of 11, like Obama did. Obama didn't go to a Jewish religious school, he went to a Muslim one, but I'm giving you an example, a religious school for boys. During the First World War, Mr. Crystal's father was forced into military service with the Russian army, survived the war, and returned home. The father comes home, marries, has two children, moves to the city of Lodz. He establishes a successful sweets and chocolate factory. Following the Nazi invasion of Poland and the occupation of Lodz, Mr. Crystal was moved into the Lodz ghetto with his family, but listen to this, was allowed to continue operating his chocolate factory, which is a shocker. His two children died in the ghetto, while Mr. Crystal and his wife were then sent to Auschwitz following the liquidation of the Lodz ghetto by the Nazis in August of 44. Crystal's wife was murdered by the German bastards in the ghetto, while Crystal and the wife died. But he survived by doing forced labor in the concentration camp and other camps as well. Listen to what the man went through so far before you talk about a Jewish conspiracy or that he's a Zionist who survived through his wits. He survived doing forced labor in the concentration camp. He survives the concentration camps after losing his children and his mother and his father and his wife to the Nazi bastards. And then after the war, he goes back to Lodz. He reestablishes his sweets factory, and he marries again in 1947. Then in 1950, you talk about a will to survive, he moves to Israel with his wife and his infant boy, Chaim. He settles in Haifa, where he's lived ever since. The couple had a daughter, Shula. And then he built a new sweets factory in the city called Crystal Sweets. Here's the killer point. He remained religious throughout his entire life. He puts on what are known as phylacteries, the tefillin. He prays every day. He recites the prayers to God by heart because his eyesight is poor. His daughter says the Holocaust did not affect his beliefs. He believes he was saved because that's what God wanted. He is not an angry person. He is not someone who seeks to an accounting. He believes everything has a reason in the world. My father is someone who is always happy. He is optimistic, wise, and he values what he has. His attitude to life, this is the oldest man on earth, is this, everything in moderation. He eats and sleeps moderately and says that a person should always be in control of their own life and not have their life control them as far as this is possible. That's very, very interesting. It's interesting to me because he doesn't attribute his extreme longevity to anything other than God and believes that his old age is simply a divine form of divine grace that has been bestowed upon him. He says that if he had created some medicine that extended life, then it would be something notable. But his attitude is that he has just lived his life and reached this age, and that's his reality. It wasn't in his hands. That's what he believes. Now, the moral of this story for my audience, I realize it's not Cruz, Trump, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. It's not. It's because it's an inspirational story. The next time you feel down, you can't go on, your life's too bad, you don't know how you can survive, it's so bad because I lost my job, I lost my girlfriend, or my dog died. You know, get a grip. Get a grip. Here's a man who lost everything, lost his children to the Nazi bastards, wife murdered by the Nazi bastards, put into forced labor camps by the Nazi bastards, and he comes out and survives and starts his life again. Now he's 112. So what in the world do you need to know that human beings are very durable? When I was a kid, I used to read the newspapers that were left around the house. I looked at the pictures in Daily News. I didn't read the paper much. I looked at the pictures. I liked the pictures. And there was always a picture of a ghetto kid who fell out of a building and, like, bounced off an awning on the way to the curb from the third floor and lived. And they would, like, do dots from the third floor, dot, 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 dot. Johnny fell out of the window and hit an awning and bounced and hit the curb and lived to tell about it. He didn't have a scratch on. I used to look at those pictures, and as a little kid, I would say to myself, I wonder if I fell out of a window, if I could survive. And I would try to imagine bouncing off that awning. I was that kind of kid. I always try to, like, put myself in the picture, you know, like, okay, if I fell out of a window, you aim for the awning and you make sure your feet hit, and then you try to land on your feet when you bounce off the awning, not on your head, or else you wind up a Democrat. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. How much do you think anything is worth? There's a photographer who takes portraits of Silicon Valley's most powerful buccaneers, and he charges $150,000 and up per picture. He sold a picture of a potato for over $1 million. Kevin Abosch has met every high-powered executive from Google chairman Eric Schmidt to Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg to Twitter's Jack Dorsey. And he lives between Ireland and Boston. He takes beautiful portraits of busy executives and celebrities in just a few seconds. And he takes one or two shots, and that's it. He gets $150,000 up to $500,000 if a commercial licensing comes into play. This week, he is at the Davos, Switzerland World Economic Forum, because that's where all of the rich buccaneers are. He said, I can't afford not to be here. He's taking pictures of Malala, who that is, I don't know, Johnny Depp. Isn't that amazing? That's truly amazing. I don't understand why anyone pay $150,000 for a picture. But that's amazing. $150,000 for a picture. That's pretty big. But the thing is, he did it all on his own. He said he got to the high number because he read an article about one of Hollywood's most famous photographers, Herb Ritz, who charged $10,000 a day. And he told CBS he wanted a similar rate of $5,000 for the few hour long shot. At first, CBS laughed at him and told him they could hire Ritz for that amount. He said, do you want Herb Ritz or do you want me? CBS met him in the middle. Since that day, Abosch has had no trouble charging high prices for his time and work. And as more and more high-powered fools ask him to take their pictures, those prices keep getting met. Can you believe this? This year, he sold a picture of a potato for 1 million euros. A picture of a potato for 1 million euros? Kevin Abosch, another breakthrough moment for him, came when he photographed Johnny Depp. As he was taking pictures, he glanced down at his camera, saw this shot, and says he got chills. Chills. And that's the story of this. Now, this is all about ego and the herd mentality. I almost said the herb mentality. But I meant the herd mentality or the flock mentality. This becomes a bidding war amongst the rich to show who has money. It's like giving money to charities. They don't even know what they're giving it to. They want to just be seen giving a million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million to up the other guy. Watch the show Billions on Showtime, and you'll see what creates trends and how trends are created. Is that picture really worth $150,000? No. In the next hour, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, Trump, Cruz, and all the news on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Especially in the political jungle. We have been talking about what is a liberal, what is a conservative. And I said to you, the classical liberals were not so bad. They had an adage. They may not agree with you, but they would fight for your right to say it. Well, they've gone. There are no liberals left. They are now progressive, fanatic fascists. And I ask, how is it that liberal companies evade taxes and then call for higher taxes? And then we talked about the Chobani yogurt owner bringing in Middle Eastern refugees to work, who is lobbying around the clock with major corporations to bring in more refugees from the Middle East. We then talked about Clinton emails are so secret some lawmakers can't read them. We then showed you that Jane Fonda is now running a smear campaign against Donald Trump. Friends of a feather, watch out for that one. I then told you that the general election is like a high school popularity contest. I then told you that Drudge is running a poll. Go vote on it. And then we talked about the world's oldest man, 112. And I showed you the privations he had been through, the disasters, living through the Holocaust. Wife killed, children killed, parents killed, forced labor camps, slave labor. Comes out, 1947, starts a factory again, and he's now 112. I mean, you can overcome anything if you don't quit and you don't give in. Now, I think it's faith in God is why he's still going. Begs the question, if God chose him to live, why did he kill so many? I can't even answer that question. Faith is dumb. You got to understand that. See, you cannot apply logic to faith. The minute you do, you can't have faith. Faith and logic are not compatible. They don't work. This is the problem between highly educated people who lose their faith and people who are God-fearing who, I'm afraid, sometimes don't think that clearly. Now, there are exceptions, and you'll get mad at me and say that you're highly educated and logical and you believe in God, and that's okay. But in my experience in life, you have to have a kind of belief. Belief is an interesting word. Belief and faith are two interesting words, and the origin, the root origin of the word belief is very interesting. Faith is very interesting what that derives from, but it's not based upon reason. Because if God chose this one man to survive these privations while he killed so many innocent others, then what does that say about God? And so you start going there, you can't believe in anything, right? And then you wind up as Harvey Weinstein, I would imagine. Eyeless in Gaza and faithless in L.A. KCMO, Julie, welcome to the program. What's your topic? We're all over the map today.
My grandfather, he's 105, and he lives with me. He, in 1926, he was 16. He would work all day, and he attributes his long life to faith, going to church, believing in God, love of family, and working hard. His whole life, he still works.
He works at 105, Julie?
Well, when I'm doing something in the house, he asks me what he can do to help me.
Oh, he doesn't just sit around on his behind and watch Oprah.
No, he gets up and helps me if I'm doing the dishes or cooking.
He tries to keep active even in the limited confines of a home. Now, you said he listens to talk radio, did you?
He and I were listening to you on KCMO making cookies.
Oh, that's the heartland, you know. KCMO would be the heartland, Kansas City, right in the heart of America.
He was a farmer, and
he was a boxer? Your 105-year-old grandpa was a boxer?
A farmer.
Wait, I'm not hearing you. I'm having trouble today with callers and hearing you. Did you say he was a boxer or what?
A farmer.
Thank you. Either my head's going or my equipment stinks. A farmer, that's the hardest work on the planet, being a farmer.
He would cook, pick 100 bushels of corn a day, and then he'd go to dance and go dancing, and it cost about $1, and he only made about $2.
I would love to hear what your grandfather thinks about America today. I take it he's not a big fan of Barack Obama's presidency.
No, he doesn't like Hillary either.
Who does he want to win?
Well, he told me, he watches TV, but he told me that I could tell him who to vote for and he would vote for them.
Oh, so he doesn't really know right now. What does he think? What does he think of Donald Trump, and what does he think of Ted Cruz?
What do you think of Donald Trump, Grandpa?
I
what?
I think Donald Trump is a good man.
He said he's
a good man. A good man. And what do you think of Ted Cruz, Grandpa?
I don't think he knows Ted Cruz.
And the story. That's the end of the discussion. That's just what I said. That's it. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, do you want to win the election or you want to go down with the ship because you're such a purist? You know, Blackbeard the pirate. I'll stick to my guns and I'll go down with the ship rather than win the battle. Well, I'm going to send you a book for Grandpa and you, Julie. It's called Government Zero. God bless the farmers of America. That's all I can say. Without them, we'd have nothing. We'd be eating nothing. We'd be eating sawdust. Now, let's go to the next caller on the Savage Nation. That opens up 53 lines at 855-407-282. We're open for any topic that I've touched on, in fact, and then some. We're going to make it an open mic to Mike third hour. I want to diversify or versify. I want to make the third hour more versatile. Sometimes you confuse the word diversify or diversity with versatility. But the truth is that without versatility in radio, it becomes, I don't know, not for me interesting that much. I'm talking only about my own show. I want to be a little more all over the place in order for me to be interested, I think, for you to be interested. I'm a good leader. I'm a good scout leader. I can lead the conversation, react to people very well. So I'll let you lead the show now, and we can hit any of the topics I touched on or a new topic. Liberals, conservatives, Shmomni, Homni, Cruz, and Trump, taxes, death, coffins, dogs, teeth, cardiologists. I have to go Monday with the dog. I never thought I'd take a dog to a cardiologist in my life. And the day would come in my life that I'd be taking a dog to a dog cardiologist right after the show Monday to see what the murmur situation is. I don't know where the murmur came from. Probably from listening to my show, he got a heart murmur. Probably listening to the horrible news, the dog has a heart murmur. I think every time Obama speaks, his heart skips a beat. Okay, here we go. Here we go, folks. No matter what I say, here it comes. Line three. Go ahead, my friend from WSBA Radio. What's on your mind?
Okay, you say that Cruz is unelectable, but then you also say that the quote-unquote purists are the one that stayed home and gave us Obama a second term because they didn't come out and vote for Romney. Wouldn't the logic stand that you nominate a person like Cruz, who's obviously the clearest conservative on the stage, then that base would come out and support him and you would win?
All right, you're making good sense, but let's analyze it a little more deeply. He is the most conservative on the stage. Then why did he vote for Obama's fast-track trade agreement with China, the TPP, for the Asian nations if he's so conservative?
Well, I would say what you said earlier, no one's 100% your way.
Oh, and that way, you just said he's the most conservative, but you said he voted for TPP, which is as liberal as it gets. So he's not really 100% conservative, is he?
He's borders language culture.
Wait a minute. You just said he's the most conservative one on the stage, Ted Cruz. But you also admit that he gave Obama fast-track trade with the Southeast Asian nations, which is a very liberal thing. So therefore, you've admitted that he's not 100% pure, correct?
Sure, he's not 100% pure. Like I said, he's not.
All right, good. So now we have two candidates who are not 100% pure, Trump and Cruz. So you're choosing a candidate who's not 100% pure, but you think he's more pure than Trump.
Yes, I do.
And would you rather lose the election to Hillary or have someone who's less pure?
But I don't think you would lose. I think the base would come out and support a candidate like that.
Hold it. They probably would. But he would lose all of the swing voters that wouldn't come out for him, who would come out for Trump. And he'll lose all the Democrats who will come out for Trump and won't come out for Cruz. So in the big picture, you lose the election. And so I have to ask you, and you're raising a very important point, by the way. Would the base that did not come out for Romney come out for Trump if he was the only candidate? That's really the only question of the day.
I think they would. If it's Trump and Hillary, I think they would. I know I am.
Now that's the most important thing anyone said today. And that's all that matters. My feeling is they would, and I'll tell you why. Because they found out by cutting their nose, despite their face, they got Obama last time. And they have to hold their nose if Trump's the candidate. They're going to have to hold their nose and say, he's not perfect, he's far from it. I know he's a social liberal or whatever, I'm going to vote for him anyway, because I'll get something out of him that's nationalistic. And they'll vote for him. That's my feeling. And here's the thing that you've got to watch for, my friend. when Trump is nominated, as I think he will, and he runs, I want you to start listening very carefully to radio, and I want you to decide who has been most consistent and who will switch gears as fast as they can to say they always supported Donald Trump. I'm sending you Government Zero because you're such a careful listener. 855-400-7282. What's this now? We have KLIF. They're still listening to me in Dallas. I went across the street from BAP to KLIF, to their regret, I'm sure. And now everyone went over. Yeah, KLIF, they're both great stations, by the way. I was on KLIF for years. Way back years ago, before Cumulus, I used to be on KLIF. Did you know that? They're both great stations in Dallas, and I think my audience has gone across the street to listen to me. And I'd like to take some of the calls. Shannon on KLIF, line number 8 on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, we're certainly still listening to you in Dallas, I can tell you that for sure. But
thank God. I don't want to lose Dallas. You lose Dallas, you lose America.
Well, that's right. And I think Donald Trump is going to win Dallas as well. So, but, you know, the thing that hasn't been talked about a lot, at least I've not heard it, on the mainstream media, is what happens if Hillary Clinton isn't the candidate. And I guess it's because the mainstream media doesn't want to think about that. But if that happens, I mean, through an indictment or just her losing these first three primaries and caucus, I don't think it's going to be Bernie Sanders, because the Democrat establishment is not brain dead. I mean, they can figure...
No, they're not that insane. My guess, you want my guess of what will happen if she's indicted, or if, let's say, she drops out owing to the pressure of the indictment and they give her a behind-the-scenes plea deal? Or, God forbid, a health issue. If she drops out, it's not Sanders versus a Republican. Old Joe Biden will be thrown into the ring. They're warming him up in the dugout right now, in the bullpen. He's out there in the bullpen getting ready to run. He's the only thing they've got. They'll run old smiley face out there. That's my guess. What do you think?
Well, that was my guess as well, because he's in that race. And I think Trump is going to have the nomination for the Republicans. And it's probably the close race between Trump and Biden. I think if it's Hillary or if it's the clown Sanders, I think Trump will have a landslide.
You know, you raise an extremely interesting point, which I really didn't think about till now. That if Hillary is knocked out of the box and they put Biden in, and it would be Biden versus Trump, it'd be almost a race too close to call. Because Biden is such a phony, and Biden would appeal to the white Union Democrat who's now going to Trump, that it might not be a good thing for Trump. So we better pray that Hillary doesn't drop out.
You know, here's hoping, or that she gets indicted, and I'm...
I'm saying, I mean, Biden would be a continuation of the same maniacal policies that we've had for 8 years. He's done nothing to stop the madness, nothing. So I think he's a terrible man, a horrible man, who's gotten away with it because of this, you know, this smile, and he's always in the background like the auto dealers. He reminds me of a friendly automobile salesman, Biden, of a kind of car that your father would have bought, that you yourself wouldn't buy. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a free gift. Government Zero, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICO. It is the Savage Nation. I want to be 113. I want to outlive the world's oldest man and say that stress is not only harmful, it's good for you. that stress is actually good for you. I mean, if stress were bad for you, I would have been dead at 11. That's all I can tell you. 9, 11, top. From the diet I had and the stress level I was under, I wouldn't have made it past my bar mitzvah. 13, no way in the world. Genevieve on KSFO, line 8. What's on your mind, Genevieve?
Hi, Michael. I'm a person who voted for Obama both times, and I have lived to regret it. And this time, I will vote for Trump. If it's Trump versus Clinton, for sure.
It says on the board that you're a Berkeley Democrat, voted for Obama twice. Is that true?
It's true.
Are you from Berkeley, California? Again, no conversation. I'm going to break something. One more no here I'm breaking. Genevieve, are you from Berkeley, California?
I am.
Oh, thank God you answered me. I was ready to break my microphone. So you're a lifetime Democrat. You voted for Obama twice. I assume this is not the first time you've tuned into me, right?
No, it isn't. I actually tune into you quite regularly.
But why? If you're a screaming, flaming leftist, why do you listen to Michael?
I like to get all points of view.
All right, so I got that. It's like my father reading newspapers from across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever given you pause for doubt as to your politics, ever?
Not really, because I have a definite conservative streak when it comes to integrity and personal responsibility and love of country and service and all those things.
That sounds like you're a conservative to me. Why would you have voted for Obama?
I think I bought into the hope and change.
It's because you live in Berkeley and you didn't want to be ostracized at the chocolate factory. Now, why would you vote for Trump?
I want this nation to get back to having an immigration policy that is enforced.
Okay, so you've had enough of the third world invasion of Berkeley.
Oh.
Even a diehard liberal doesn't even understand what city she's living in anymore. She feels like she's walked into a bazaar somewhere in the Middle East. All right, Genevieve, I'm going to really make your life interesting. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero in a plain brown wrapper, so when it arrives, your neighbors will not ostracize you from the chocolate factory. When I come back, it opens the line at 855-407-282. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Get some mascara and look like a freak and make a fortune in America. All right, turn it off. Put on nail polish if you're a man. Put on mascara. Get tight leather pants. And then whine on the stage. The next thing you know, you're in the White House. So here's the headlines of the day. Hillary Clinton's latest Iowa poll numbers are borderline disastrous. Comes from the Guardian newspaper in London. With only 11 days to go before the Iowa caucuses, a new CNN ORC poll, as you know, they're right-wing, released just this afternoon, the right-wing CNN poll, released today, finds Vermont Communist Senator Bernie Sanders with an astonishing 8-point lead over Hillary Clinton in Iowa, 51-43. Dramatic reversal of fortunes for the former Secretary of State, who led Commie Sanders by 18 points last December. The poll, blah, blah, okay, so Sanders is commanding a big lead in Iowa. Big deal. What is Iowa? What, Iowa represents America? I don't understand this obsession. It's not 1873. Get out the buggy whip already with Iowa and New Hampshire. The whole election process makes me embarrassed to be an American. How can you take a pluralistic nation like this with a massive number of immigrants in big cities and look at Iowa, which is largely a Caucasian state, homogeneous, religious, God bless them. It doesn't represent anything but that demographic. And New Hampshire, tax-dodging people who live and they can't afford to live in Boston, so they live in New Hampshire. That represents America? A bunch of tax dodgers living in a little state like that? How in the world are we still doing a thing like this? What's this now? Another story about ICE that does nothing? No kidding. Another story about DHS that does nothing and he still has his job? Only in this country could that man keep his job. All right, 855-407-282. KSFO, Mike, thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm a nationalist, but I'm unsure how to feel about trade. I don't know whether I should be a free trader or a protectionist. I can argue both sides. I wanted your opinion.
My opinion is put tariffs on goods from China to start with. I'm very consistent in that position in both of my books, and people who claim that they're for free trade are not really conservatives at all. They're following some kind of weird conception of conservatism. Who says that free trade is conservative when there is no such thing as free trade if the other country is not playing by the same rules? If they're putting tariffs on American goods and we're not putting tariffs on their goods, would you consider that free trade? I wouldn't.
I don't, but my question is, who does a tariff hurt, or does it really hurt? And I remember, I think it was on your program, you said that the 29 Depression started with Smoot-Hawley, which was the tariff program. But
I didn't say that. No, I never said such a thing. It did not. It was not what triggered the Depression. That's a misnomer. That comes from the same wing of the Republican Party that is now disguising itself as being conservative. They're anything but conservative. And let them define themselves. But I'll be very clear. It's one of the things I like about Trump, which is his staff apparently read both of my last two books and used some of the talking points for my Solutions for America in his talking points. And one of those talking points is put tariffs on Chinese goods until they stop putting tariffs on our goods. Perhaps I should have added that. See, I understand manufacturing. Most people in radio have no business interests outside of radio. I do. And I will tell you, you go try export your product outside of America and you'll discover what free trade is not. There is no such thing as free trade. They tariff our goods to death. They tie our American goods up in red tape like you cannot believe. And so you're talking about, again, talk show hosts or whoever, maybe well-meaning, who don't understand business. They've never been in business. They don't understand the first thing about it. They read textbooks. They give policy speeches. Maybe they went to Harvard, I don't know, or Missouri State, or, you know, Trenton U. I don't know where they went. But the thing is, a tariff is necessary to stop the bad behavior of a competitor who's screwing you when you try to export products to them. So I don't think you have to go into a decision based upon saying, I am a nationalist, where should I stand? I think you need to say, I'm a commonsensical person, and in order to rebuild American business, we need to put tariffs on foreign goods. It'll have a positive effect on our manufacturing, for example. Think about what would happen, and think about what did happen to America. Let's review together. Let's go back a number of decades. We had the most advanced electronics industry in the world. I'm talking in the 60s, remember? I don't know, how old are you?
53, Mike.
All right, so you remember when we used to make televisions in America? We had American brands. And do you remember what the Japanese did to kill our television industry? They produced televisions, and they dumped them on American consumers at a lower cost than production. They were selling them for less than they were making them with one intention, which was to destroy our television manufacturing industry. Did you know that? It's very similar to what the Saudis have been doing to destroy our domestic energy-producing industries, which is lowering the price of oil, producing too much oil, in order to drive, for example, the frackers out of business. To get them out of business, they just drove the price down where it was no longer economically feasible. And what's going to happen now is they're going to do exactly what the great liberal George Soros did. They'll move in and buy all the fracking companies for a penny on the dollar, and then they'll go back into the fracking business. This is how capitalism works around the world. So to make a long story short, we once had an electronics industry. It was destroyed by Japan, who dumped their televisions and radios and their other things on us at less than cost of manufacturing. It's been done with automobiles. They almost drove our big three out of business. Did you know that? With the same exact rapacious tactics. They were sending cars over here for less than it cost to produce them in order to destroy our auto industry. And only a sick nation permits this to happen. I am totally in favor of American manufacturing. Do you remember what happened under Bill Clinton? Do you remember the Chinese were buying factories out of the Middle West? They were exporting entire factories with all of the equipment and all of the technology to China to put the industries in China where the labor was cheaper. I wouldn't have let that happen. Now imagine the reverse flow. Imagine to see all of these tens of thousands of small manufacturing businesses coming back to America. Imagine all of the out-of-work machinists and others with skills who are not working going back to work because they have a factory to work in. Can you imagine what that would do for our decaying Rust Belt, so to speak? Wouldn't you love to see the Rust Belt come back to life, so to speak, the Rust Belt, where America's industrial might once reigned and built the great machine that helped us win World War II? So this is what will happen if Trump wins and he follows through. And the big thing is, will he follow through with tariffs on China? You hear? So let me go now for a moment and explain it in more detail. That was purely off the top of my head. I didn't refer to any notes. Nobody gave me any script on it. But I want to go to 40 solutions to save America from the back of Government Zero Everyone now is talking about nationalism, right? I suddenly heard it everywhere. Well, they're not conservatives now. You know what they are? They're really nationalists. All right, page 313 of Government Zero, 40 Actions to Save America. Here are the top 40 that I wrote. One, Michael Savage, start a nationalist party. I said, we need a true two-party system. Right now we have a one-party system. It's a charade, a shell game with no peas under either shell. Two, close the borders completely for 7 years. Do I have to explain that one in detail? Three, deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Why? Why wouldn't you want to get rid of one-third of the prison population, since they're not even citizens? Four, repeal the Anchor Babies law. Now, there's no such law, but you know what I'm talking about. Five, make English the official language of the United States. Six, require government-issued identification of vote. That is such a big one. That is such a huge thing that the Democrats have fought like tooth and nail. Restore to active duty all military officers purged by Obama. Restore physical standards in the military. Restructure military spending. Cut the rest of government significantly. Repair our relations with Russia. That's number 12. 13, sign a mutual defense treaty with Israel. 14, end all foreign aid, including to Israel. 15, recognize radical Islam as the enemy. 16, allow profiling and security investigations. 17, demand Congress declare war against ISIS and destroy them. 18, close all tax loopholes for Hollywood. 19, fund all climate science research to include the skeptics. And here's for all of you Ted Cruz supporters. 20, withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We don't know the terms of Obama's secret trade deal. If there is a way to withdraw honorably under its terms, the next president should get out of it. Ted Cruz voted for the TPP, by the way. 21, withdraw from NAFTA. 22, narrow the Federal Reserve's mandate to a strong dollar and stable prices. 23, end the H-1B visa program. 24, and this is a big one, institute a 15% flat tax on everyone. That means everyone pays their fair share, as the progressives love to say. It eliminates all loopholes for all sorts of special interests, including corporate America and Hollywood. Right now, almost half of U.S. citizens pay no income tax at all, while the other half pays progressively more as they become more productive. 25, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. 26, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. I can go on and on. 28, institute tort reform. End affirmative action. So as you see, I didn't just put tariffs in there because I chose to put them there. They're way down on the list. To me, national security is number one. The number one issue that I care about is national security and immigration. They're intertwined. And unless we close the borders, we are finished as a nation. Look what happened to Europe, the rapes. Look what's happening to England, the loss of a nation's identity. I do not want that to happen. I am an immigrant's son. I love America. And as far as taxation goes, and I thought about this in the middle of the night, I kept thinking about it. Why should I, who was once a poor man, pay more taxes as a not poor man than a guy who's working, let's say, and is just working? Why don't we all pay the same amount of taxes? Why am I punished for my success? Why is it the more I make, the higher the rate should be? In other words, sure, if I make more money, I should pay more taxes, but a flat tax would do that. If a man makes $50,000 a year and the flat tax is 10%, he pays $5,000 a year in federal taxes. If a man, did I say 10% is a flat tax? Yes. So if a man then makes $500,000 a year and the flat tax is 10%, he pays $50,000 a year. So he's already paying more taxes. He made more money, he pays more taxes. Then if he makes $5 million a year, he pays $500,000 in taxes. He's again paying more taxes than the guy making $50,000 a year. It's not he's paying less, he is paying more. But you don't suddenly jack up his tax rate, where if he's making $5 million, he's now paying $2.5 million in taxes. That's a disincentive. Moreover, in America, we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, including Great Britain, including socialist France. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. It is identical to the federal private personal income tax of 39.6%. It's criminal. It's killing business. It must be lowered. It shouldn't be higher than 20%, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, if you want to sleep well tonight and you voted for Obama, here's a little news story for you. Obama has just released Al-Qaeda's most skilled explosives expert from prison. Whoopi Goldberg, oh, I'm crossing my fingers. She says, maybe it's time for me to leave the U.S. if Trump wins. Oh, I pray, Whoopi. Let me buy your ticket. I'll make sure it's first class with a sleeper seat to any country of your choice, Whoopi, under one condition. You never come back because we don't need the Whoopi cushion known as Whoopi Goldberg. Obama releases Al-Qaeda's most skilled explosives expert, and you want to vote for Democrats. Amazing. A man personally praised by Osama bin Laden, a man who created the shoe bomb design. The Pentagon said today that Egyptian Tariq Mahmoud Ahmed Al-Thwa, who may have known of the September 01 plot, was transferred from Gitmo Bay to the government of Bosnia. He fought with the Bosnian army in the early 1990s and eventually made his way to Afghanistan in 2000. Like other members of Al-Qaeda, Al-Sawa began his terrorism career as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is not only present in the U.S. but is in the White House, according to very well-known sources. So now he's released because of his illness. The doctors from NYU and Miami University said he has obesity, diabetes, fatty liver disease, chronic pain from spinal cord compression. Okay, so it's our fault that he was in prison. He was toast. He was very close to bin Laden, an explosives expert. He developed a mine to sink U.S. ships. He developed a shoe bomb prototype that Richard Reid attempted tonight while on a flight from Paris to Miami. So he's in Gitmo in plain English. And Obama just released him. Sends him to Bosnia? And you think the Bosnian Muslims are going to keep him under control? Take a look at Secretary Ashton Carter. And now you understand what's going on in the world a little better. One yes man after another. Only in an insane nation could a man get away like this. Only in a man in America could a man literally commit treason in front of our eyes one day after another. Violate every sense of justice, every sense of reason for protecting the American people and not be stopped. Now look what they're asking in the newspaper. Did President Obama get swindled in the Iran deal? No, he was put there for the Iran deal. That's an idiotic question. He didn't get swindled. He got them just what they wanted. He was rewarded for it. That's how he became president. Obama releases Al-Qaeda's most skilled explosives expert. And you want to vote for Hillary Clinton. I give up. If that's what you want, I don't understand how people can be so suicidal and still think that they're sane. It is the Savage Nation. Do you know that I'm almost out of time? I'm not 112, but I've gone for full 3 hours every day of the week. Uncanny energy. People don't know where it comes from. How does he do it? How does he get up? Men half my age, they're walking around holding their back saying it hurts them. I can't do it. What's the matter? I can't get up. I'm not doing well. Have the faith, baby. That's how you do it. And secondly, I have two hearts beating in my chest, one for me and one for my deceased brother.